The Lord, you guys, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I told you, you have to bear with me as far as Revelation goes, because we're going to be in and out that for a while. Then we'll start doing it every week eventually. But we're in a certain section where I've slowed down a little bit, and I've been at chapter 18, verse 23. This actually relates to that verse, although I don't want to make this part of the Revelation study. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul has talked to the church of Ephesus, or written to the church of Ephesus in the first three chapters about their standing in salvation, how they're seated in heavenly places, how they've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, that God predestined them in his great love, that it was according to his plan that whoever would believe would be sealed. That predestination wasn't just arbitrary. It was according to his divine plan, it says, his purposes. And that while we were yet sinners, the scriptures tell us Jesus died for us. That's in Romans. But in Ephesians, it says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Amen. We were spiritually separated from God. Amen. And that the Lord made us alive in him through faith. We were saved. Amen. So regenerated, saved, even though we were dead in trespasses and sins. It says, by grace, through what? Faith. So we put our trust in him. We saved us by his grace. And then he tells them to walk in that new life. And that's your walk with the Lord. You know, we have a walk with Jesus. And you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. You're not working for your salvation. If you're trusting Jesus, you are already what? Saved. You've passed from death to life. Amen. You've been set free from sin and its consequences and its rulership over your life. It's a beautiful thing. And now we live out our salvation in our walks. Amen. And so he talks about being seated in heavenly places in the first chapters. And then he talks about walking worthy of your calling in Ephesians 4, sitting, walking. And then he talks about standing in Ephesians chapter 6. And we could pick it up at Ephesians chapter 6. Go ahead and go to verse 10. Ephesians 6:10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. How often do you hear me say that apart from me, and it's not me saying it, I'm just a man. Apart from me, I'm quoting Jesus, you can do what? Nothing. Then you'll often hear me have a rejoinder to that. What's the next verse I often quote after I quote that one? Through, we can do all things. We've all got to have that scripture memorized, amen. And I love those two scriptures together because they tell me, apart from that, I can do nothing, you know, of any spiritual benefit, any eternal benefit. But through him, we could do all things, amen. So it's through Christ that we have power to live each day we live. And verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the what? Lord, and in the strength of his might. I wish we had time to just, and we will go through Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, Lord willing, verse by verse, methodically, looking at each verse, you know, strongly. But I want to focus on the overall text this evening. So we're supposed to be strong in the Lord and this power. King James has power here, the NSB, strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So the only way we're going to stand firm against the devil's schemes, and he does have schemes. You realize that, right? You realize he plots. He sizes you up. He wants to destroy you and your family. Have you considered my servant Job? God says to Satan in chapter 1 of Job. And he basically says, how can I get to him? You've put a hedge around him, which tells you a couple things. It tells you that he had considered Job and how to get to him, but he was unable to because God had put a hedge around him. You're familiar with that text. Do you think he sized you up? Do you think he thinks of how can I get to you? And you know, at times God himself lowers the hedge. Jesus said to Peter, Satan has sought permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed so your faith will not fail. He doesn't say, he didn't give him permission. He didn't say you're not going to be tried and that the enemy's not going to go after you. He said, I prayed so your faith will not fail. In other words, Satan has some permission. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested by the devil for 40 days, right? So you have to keep in mind, I have to keep in mind, we all have to keep in mind that we do face these trials, these temptations. And he says in verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not human, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's against Satan and the demonic world. Verse 13, and look at this verse. Therefore, take up the what? Full armor of God, so that you'll be able to resist in the what? In the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. And he goes on, we'll look at the following verses a little bit later. But he says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. So you and I, we cannot have victory over the evil one if we do not put on the full armor of God. We're not going to stand firm. We can't take these scriptures lightly and act like they're not that big of a deal. And praise God, he's patient with us, amen. Praise God, he's very merciful and full of grace and love, and he teaches us. The psalmist said, he trains my hands for war, amen. And as believers, we're supposed to be equipped for the work of the ministry. We're supposed to be encouraged and equipped to stand against the enemy and realize there is a real war for our souls. It says, it talks about the sins of the flesh and talks about those things that wage war against our souls in 1 Peter. Now notice verse 13, I think it's quite interesting. It says, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the what? In the evil day. The evil day. Not just any old day, you know? The evil day. You know what the evil day is? Any significantly evil day where the enemy comes after you to overcome you and destroy your faith. And each of us have those days that come, and we have to be prepared for them. Twice in the book of Proverbs, we read that the prudent person, the wise person, sees the evil day coming and hides himself. The scriptures warn that those who are not ready for the evil day will be overcome by it. We have to be prepared for the evil day. Last week, a lot of people were having a good time and they weren't prepared for the evil day. They were in a dilapidated warehouse called the Ghost Ship. Interesting name. And a fire broke out in the Ghost Ship, which was an occult commune of various artists. A lot of people aren't aware what that thing was about. I did a little research. I tend to, when those kinds of things happen, sometimes there's more to them than people realize. And now, as of today, I think they stopped their search for bodies today. 36 dead. Could be more. They stopped their search for bodies. And it's interesting because Derek Eon, I don't know if that's really his middle name, but it's usually Derek Eon, which I thought's interesting. But then I've read elsewhere, Derek Eon Almena, A-L-M-E-N-A, is his name, and he was the owner. And they were not prepared for a big rave party because he came under fire because the Department of Building that does the codes and stuff said that he should have had a special permit, which he didn't seek to have that party there, that rave. He owned it, but to have a big party like that, he wasn't, you know. Others came out and he didn't meet the fire codes. The police department and the fire department stated, you know, that they didn't have sprinklers. Apparently they didn't have fire alarms. I mean, something might come out where they had something, but as of now, there was no warning when the fire struck. And nobody was ready. They didn't know what they were getting into. They didn't know that that very day that they would all, these 36 people at least, would perish in the flames without warning. They didn't have their eyes open. That could have been any of us, you know. By the grace of God, we're here, amen. Because Jesus revealed himself to us. And we need to pray for these people. I read somebody online, there's been some harsh statements, but and one person said, you know, these hipsters got what they deserved, you know, because they're, you know. So Jesus died for these people just like he died for us, amen. We need to, that could have been us. I know that could have been me. I could have been dead as a stoner before I knew Jesus. But at the same time, we need to learn from these things. And people got more angry because this man, Derek Ian Almina, he basically was upset because, and he went to Facebook and complained that he lost his possessions, material possessions, but he didn't bring up the concern for the loss of life, you know. So you could understand why a lot of family members, a lot of people would get really upset about that. And they did. And I understood that, you know. I read some crazy things people were saying. They were tweeting, you know, that, you know, I hope you get it, go to prison for manslaughter. Hell was created for a person like you, you know, because he was concerned about his possessions and he was happy that he got out, you know, or he's alive, and they weren't. So there's been a lot of people in the social media that are upset about that. But it's interesting because the band that was playing that night, the main headlining band was called Golden Donna. If any of you know about, that might ring a bell with some of you, because he was asked about the name, why he called it Golden Donna. That guy didn't get killed. The guy that has the band Golden Donna. And he said, when asked why he named his band Golden Donna, and when I saw that, I just had to look it. I was looking for interviews with this guy, because Golden Donna sounds like the Golden Dawn. And he said, Golden Dawn, the organization that Aleister Crowley was involved with, and then Donna Summer, just smushed them together, he says, and I like how the name sounds. It's two subjects I'm interested in. So I thought it was interesting. The guy headlining the band is into, you know, and that whole philosophy is do what thou wilt. And by the way, raves are usually accompanied with psychedelic and hypnotic music and ecstasy and other hallucinogens at times and dance music and just partying and not being sober. And we're warned in Scripture that we need to be sober-minded, amen? That we need to know of our surroundings. And it just breaks my heart because it's an incredible picture of how young people in our day are getting sucked into these things and just so lost. But you never know when an evil day can approach. You could be in your home, you could be at school, you could be in a shopping center these days, and things can get crazy, right? You could even be in a church of people that love the Lord, and somebody could just, you know, be possessed or something and be used by the devil and to hurt God, try to hurt God by hurting his people. And thing is the crazy thing is when you're prepared for the evil day and your heart's right, you're invincible. You really are. If you're trusting Jesus, you know, it says, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Amen. If you're right with Jesus, amen, you're trusting Jesus right now. Not perfect, just trusting his blood. You're leaning on him as your Lord and Savior. You're justified. You're right with God. And the same passage says, if God is for us, who is against us? Amen? And we're in a really good place in Jesus. So if we died right now, the scriptures, Jesus said, when they persecute you, not one hair on your head will perish, right? I love that. They can't destroy even your hair. Oh, I mean, they might pull it all out even. They pulled out Jesus' beard, but guess what? We're going to be resurrected, amen? How many of you are looking forward to the resurrection? How many of you get older are like, praise God, I get to rise again, and I'm going to be perfect someday, amen? So we have excitement in that. But we want to be prepared for the evil day. In fact, there will be an article up on this because we try to keep people aware of what's going on. Maybe by Friday or early next week. I just did a message and I just did an article for it. And Tony was going to have that up today, but I had to put up another article today on our website that you can catch. But we wrote one on marijuana. So that's a big problem right now in our country with a lot of the youth. So I encourage you have a resource now to go to on that subject online with a lot of the facts. And there'll be a part two of that and so forth. We just want to make sure we have answers. At this fellowship, we try to be very relevant and deal with what's going on. Amen. It's amazing how relevant this book is. Amen. I've had several people through the years come and visit our fellowship, and they trip out. They're like, "You make the Bible sound like it's talking about today." I'm like, "Yeah, it is." You know, it's alive. Amen. His word is alive. And so it's just kind of interesting that was going on. And by the way, when this article goes up, and it'll just be a short 2-3 page article, maybe longer because of pictures, you'll see all kinds of pictures of the goddess Shiva. Huge, with like at an altar. All these false gods and skulls that were, it was all full of the occult, this rave place. Just the goddess, God Shiva is the god of destruction in Hinduism. And they use fire dances at times to worship Shiva. And Shiva's sometimes depicted because Shiva's a god of destruction with fire all around. And I've got a picture of somebody doing a fire dance in that warehouse without the sprinklers and the... And people got really upset because people that used to work there said that after he was warned about it being a fire hazard, that he would laugh it off, the owner. And that's the opposite of being ready for the evil day. Amen? But if you're right with Jesus and you're trusting Jesus, nothing can hurt you. Ultimately, amen? Oh, you'll get your feelings hurt at times, and you know, you'll go through times where you're sad or you feel lonely at times, or you feel like, you'll just go through things as humans that we go through. But you wait on the Lord, amen? He'll renew your strength and you'll be comforted eventually, amen? As you seek him, and he'll lift you up and he'll strengthen you. And all those things are so true. But ultimately, because he's invincible, we cannot be ultimately touched by the enemy if we are in Christ. That's the key. We want to be in Jesus. And we don't want to worship false gods either. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:20, Paul says, rather the sacrifices of pagans, the pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be a participant with demons. So you worship false gods, you open yourself up to the demonic realm. So there's all these demon gods around this place called the Ghost Ship, a ship with spirits, worshiping demons with a band named after Aleister Crowley's old occult organization, and it went up in flames. And most of us, when we hear the news, we hear just the surface. A lot of times a lot more is going on, and there's a spiritual war we forget about, and we can't forget that these kids are being sucked into this, and these are the kids we're called to reach. Amen. These young people, not just now, there are a lot of older people at these places too. Art in our country has just a lot of it has just become devil worship, and it's really 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 sad, actually. Now, so we'll have pictures of Shiva that from that place before it burned. There's pictures and all these, fire dancing going on. The lady has all this fire that she's dancing with. I'm like, wow, that was I'm not saying that happened that night and that's why the thing caught fire. I don't know what happened that night, exactly how the fire started. So far, it's supposed to be unknown. I'm just saying people were not prepared. That was an evil day that came in their life that day at Oakland, amen? And they weren't prepared for it, many of the people at least. Oh, by the way, remember Paris? Remember the 90 almost people that were killed at the nightclub there? That was some of the biggest news earlier this year. You know what band was performing? It's on YouTube, the first part of it. The band is performing as these Muslim terrorists come in with AK-47s or whatever they have and gun down 90 people and then blow themselves up with suicide vests. The band that was playing was called, you can check me out on this. I've got a pretty good track record. I'm not perfect, but a pretty good track record research. And it was the Eagles of Death Metal was the name of the band. Eagles of Death Metal playing before almost 90 people were gunned down at that nightclub in Paris. Oh, and you want to know what song they were singing? Kiss the Devil. And it was a devil worship song. In fact, Jesse Hughes, who started the band, wrote the song. And listen, quite different than what Kyler writes and was singing up here. The opposite. In fact, the Bible says kiss the Son. Kiss Jesus, amen? And it's talking about worshiping him. And kiss the Son is an expression of worship in Psalm, in the book of Psalms, chapter 2. This one's called Kiss the Devil. And just a few of the lines. Who will love the devil? Who will sing his song? Or who will sing his song? I'll love the devil. I'll sing his song. I will love the devil and his song. Who will kiss the devil on his tongue? I'll love the devil. I'll kiss his tongue. And it goes on, just repeats this over and over again. They're singing this song. And guess what? They're worshiping the devil. The name of the band is Eagles of Death Metal. And guess what? Death. And they got to kiss the devil. Devil came in the face of militant Islam. That is satanic. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 that whoever denies the Father and the Son, that this is Antichrist, that Islam rejects Jesus as the Son of God. Even Islam came much later after Jesus, the Messiah and prophet, revealed who he is and is the spirit of Antichrist. And they're singing about kissing the devil, wanting to kiss the devil. The devil showed up, spirit of Antichrist. It wasn't a French kiss, even though it was in Paris. It was an ugly kiss of death. Oh, but the band temporarily escaped out the side door. Just like this other guy from Golden Donna. I said, isn't it interesting? These are two huge events, right? That as far as on the radar, they both have these really weird occult underpinnings. And then you got Islam on one hand, you got youth culture all over the world on other hands. And it just is a reminder to me that we need to share Jesus with people, guys. That we need to also encourage our young people to know Jesus, amen? That we need to make sure we show them who he is in our lives, in the way we talk to them, in our conduct, in the examples we give them, and how we spend time with them and encourage them and hold their hands through things and there be there for our young people, amen? Because a lot of young people, why are they gravitating toward these things? And you know what? Parents can even do a good job. And these things can still seduce the young people. I had good parents. They didn't know Jesus, but they meant good. And guess what? I got caught up in a lot of this kind of stuff. I was writing stuff that was devil worship music, glorifying the devil. Didn't even know what I was into. Until Jesus came to me and revealed himself to me, I realized, wow, I was opening myself up to Satan. I didn't even know he existed. But this spirit is at work and it's drawing kids like flies, like moths to the flame. And we need to, you know, be encouraged to make sure that we are asking the Lord, Lord, use me. Help me get beyond my comfort zone and help me be a witness. Amen. That's why the opportunity to go sharing the gospel, for instance, Mexico coming up pretty soon. If you could do that, great. To go out and share the gospel and make our lives count, amen? He may lead you to Mexico. He may have you wait for another trip as far as going on a mission trip with the church. But he wants to use us in our lives in general too, amen? He wants us to be witnesses. Jesus didn't say, you shall go out and witness to people. That's great, though. He said, you shall be my what? Witnesses. He wants us to be witnesses. Amen? And then when we go out, we are going out witnessing because we're witnesses. And I want to encourage you, just live for Jesus. Love Jesus. And people around you, people in your neighborhood, people in your family, people will see Jesus in you. Remember, the Bible says that we are living letters, not written by, think of men, not written by men, but by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we talk about that sometimes. That sometimes you may be the only gospel somebody reads. There's the gospel according to Matthew, gospel according to Mark, gospel according to Luke, gospel according to John. All inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen. But there's also the gospel according to you and me. Amen. And we need to shine the light of the gospel. Because the evil day is coming and we want people to be saved from the evil day. The evil day came. For people on that night, and they were singing, many of them, about kissing the devil. And it was too late after that. That breaks my heart. It just tears my heart, you know, to think that. And I mean, Eagles of death metal, death, the worship of death, death metal, gothic people. That's a whole other culture, different than death metal. Gothic music, it's about death, much of it. I mean, you're made to look pale and white, like death warmed over, and black fingernails and things like that. These people are, and I remember as a non-Christian, loving death. Some of my greatest heroes were dead young. I thought that was so cool. Jimi Hendrix was my favorite guitarist. You know? Jim Morrison and Janis Joplin and John Bonham, who is my favorite band, was Zeppelin. And, you know, all these, the Jays, you know? And my name started with, I'm a Joe, right? So I'm a Jay. I'm going to die young, man. Live rebellious. You know, better to burn out than to fade away. What a lie, you know? It's a joke. It's sick because Satan wants to just do away with people. He makes them bigger than when they were even popular when they were, you know, famous sometimes. And Satan tries to make death attractive. Remember going to the graveyard? Remember asking my mom, can I paint my room black? Where did all that come from? A kid with a morbid imagination, yeah, but I was in touch with the spiritual realm. I opened myself up to that stuff. The power of the subconscious, I thought. And there's a whole realm out there. You don't even need... Satan was very busy, guys. Before we had all the, you know, iPhones and the computers and the televisions and the radios. You remember when Jesus was on the earth and Satan showed him the kingdoms of the world in a what? Moment's time. He said, bow down and worship me and all this will be yours. Jesus was ready for the evil day. See, Satan can speak to you without any of the popular devices. They just make his job easier and the job of demons easier to tempt people. Oh, I know. Believe me, he has a lot of access to people because I've counseled a lot of people along with Pastor Steve and others that have ministered here through the years of people that fall into junk that's on the internet and things like that. Satan has his way with that. But long before the internet and all that stuff was around, he was already very active. And if you had to put on the full armor of God in the first century, and Jesus, who's the Son of God, had to say, it is written 3 times, and then Satan fled. How much do those of us who are not Jesus, which is all of us, need to put on the full armor of God? Amen? And how do you prepare for the evil day? You take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and Jesus used it 3 times. You know, turn these stones into bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, Jesus said to Satan. You know, cast yourself off the temple, you know. It's written, Satan says. He knows the scripture too. That he will, you know, cause the angels to catch you up so you won't hurt your foot against a stone. And Jesus says, it is also written, thou shalt not, what? Test the Lord thy God. 3 different times, Jesus responded by taking out the sword of the Spirit. That's part of the armor of God, which is the word of God. Amen. You and I, we need to depend on God's word. And you can't take it out if it's not in your heart. If you're not spending time in it. Young man, how can you keep your way pure? But by keeping it according to the word of God. Amen. I have hid your word in my heart. So I will not what? Sin against you. Young men. I'm looking at a few young men right now. You can include yourself in that, James and Bob and all you guys over there. If you're young, I mean, Jesus is the Ancient of Days, so you're real young. But you're strong, it says, because the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Put the Word of God in your heart, amen? Put the Word of God in your heart. So, by the way, I think it's interesting. When all those terrorists came in Paris, earlier this year, they were strapped with suicide vests with TATP in them. You know what they call TATP? It's a popular name for it. Mother of Satan, because it's so volatile. So they're singing Kiss the Devil, and people come in with the spirit of Antichrist wearing Mother of Satan around them, and they kiss the devil, the death kiss. I mean, it's like demonic poetry in motion. And guess where you're at tonight? You're worshiping Jesus, amen. By his grace, you and I are. I just know that I could have easily been going up in flames with those guys. So I don't say, wow, I'm such a good guy. God's got to be so happy to have me on his team. Tom, my brother, you're all my brothers who know Jesus and sisters, but my brother, he's laughing back there because he knew me. He knew I didn't deserve eternal life. He knew we were both on the same road in just different ways to destruction. Blesses my heart to see Tom here, you know, and coming here all these years, and pray for Gina. Amen. Keep praying for his wife because of her brain tumor. Don't forget to pray for her. Amen. Pray for Joe Turgeon. My wife and I just visited him a few days back because he's got throat cancer and he's in the hospital. Did he get out of the hospital, babe? Do you know? We have to find out. He had these seizures he was having, but they were diminishing when we saw him. And pray for Glenn. Big Jim's over there. You can pray with Jimmy or talk to him about it if you want to know more detail. And Jimmy and I just visited him Sunday after church, and he has cancer as well. And he's getting put in hospice. Did he already go to hospice, Jimmy? Making arrangements. And we're praying that he comes to know the Lord, you know. And Jimmy's been sharing with him, and I was able to share a little bit with him. And Steve went the day before I went, Steve Aguilar, to pray with him as well and pray that he would receive Jesus. Right now when we were talking to him, Jimmy said that's the most open he's been, and he says he's seeking Jesus, you know, right now. So we just want to make sure it's real for him, you know. It's always things we could be doing, amen. You know what's really cool? Don't you want to make sure you're doing the will of God when you die? Instead of singing Kiss the Devil. Amen? You want to be ready for that evil day. Because the evil day for us is really a glorious day. You know, isn't that a trip? We're ushered into the kingdom of God when we die. And it's a beautiful thing. We don't want to love death. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8. In fact, let's go there. Go to Proverbs, please. Chapter 8. And when you get there, go ahead and look at verse 35 and 36. I love this verse 35. For he who finds me finds what? Life. And obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love what? Death. You don't want to be a lover of death because that means you hate the Lord. If you hate the Lord, you're going to be a lover of death. He who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Yes, but the wisdom in a way is a personification of Jesus. Jesus is the Word, amen, that's made flesh, amen. Jesus, the Bible says, is the wisdom of God and our righteousness for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. So wisdom is speaking, but Jesus is the ultimate wisdom. Amen. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that all the treasures of wisdom are hidden in him. Amen. So sometimes wisdom is spoken of metaphorically, even as a woman at times, but wisdom ultimately is expressed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. Amen. Now, it's interesting because if you love death, you hate him. And right now, death is really popular. We live in what's called the culture of death right now, where death is just glorified. And it's really, really sad. What happened 75 years ago today? Pearl Harbor. Was that another evil day? Yeah. That was one of the most evil days in American history. In fact, if you ask somebody what was the most evil day in American history, a lot of people would cite Pearl Harbor. I'm not here by accident on this passage about putting on the full armor of God so you can stand on the evil day. I've been thinking of evil days lately that I want to be ready for, that should be instructive to us. I pray when I do messages that the Lord would have things that relate to you, that you can draw a line from to yourself to the Scripture. From the Scripture to the situation in yourself and say, okay, how can I learn from it? I do that in my own walk. And Pearl Harbor, wow! That was a day that they were not ready for. That was a day that caught almost every American by surprise. December 7th, 1941. Now we're December 7th, 2016, 75 years later to the day. What was interesting on that day, 18 Navy vessels sunk, five USS battleships. Almost the entire fleet of battleships was sinking or sank. 323 aircraft were damaged or destroyed. Around 2,400 people dead and over 1,000 wounded. And that was the greatest loss of life from an attack by enemy assailants from another country until 60 years later at 9/11, when nearly 3,000 people died. Now, when Pearl Harbor happened, initially, Husband E. Kimmel, the commander-in-chief of the Pacific Fleet, along with Army Lieutenant General Walter C. Short, were relieved of their command and held responsible. Later, Kimmel was exonerated by other, but he still had his critics because there were mistakes many people believe that were made. And it's quite interesting because there are some interesting parallels with evil days like Pearl Harbor 75 years ago and 9/11, which happened about 15 years ago, 60 years after Pearl Harbor, where people were not prepared for the evil day, that parallel what's going on in the church right now. Interesting parallels. Pearl Harbor and 9/11 were both sneak attacks. No matter what you believe about 9/11, most people believe that it was a true terrorist attack. Others believe it was a government inside job. Others believe it was a terrorist attack that the government allowed to happen. What I do know for sure is that we did not expect it, and it was a sneak attack. And we weren't prepared for it, just like Pearl Harbor. And there are some eerie parallels between what happened at Pearl Harbor and them not being ready for that evil day, and 9/11 and them not being prepared for the evil day, and the coming tribulation period, the most evil day that the church will experience. The parallels are really uncanny when you think about it. In fact, it's interesting, the more I thought about these, and I've drawn the parallel to Pearl Harbor and 9/11 before, the more I consider the parallels between 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, the more I consider the parallels between that and this idea that the church doesn't need to be prepared for the evil day when the tribulation comes. Think of some of the parallels. Prior to the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, there was ample intelligence out there that this was going to happen. But it was either ignored, neglected, or not properly discerned. In fact, U.S. intelligence lost track. Check this out. This is something big to lose track of. Lost track of Japanese aircraft carriers. You know how big aircraft carriers are? We lost track of their aircraft carriers a week before 9/11, guys. We lost track of them, okay? That's what Kimmel was being held responsible for because he was, many people believe, supposed to keep his eye on them, and he didn't bother, they say, to locate it. I don't want to judge that man. I don't know what was in his heart. I just know we didn't know, or at least we weren't being told. Also, we weren't ready because Army radar operators, even though they saw these Japanese kamikazes flying by them, did not warn those in command at Pearl Harbor that they were coming. That was another serious dereliction of duty. Will you agree? And the carnage was ridiculous. And 9/11, many believe the warnings were there ahead of time. They were announced. You know, if you believe Osama bin Laden was behind it, which I personally do believe that there was definitely Muslim militants involved in that, he announced that he was going to wipe out all kinds of Americans ahead of time. But warnings were not heeded. Now, We see right now in the world that we live in as Christians, more and more hate toward Christianity, right? I don't need to document all that right now. We've been through that. You know it in your own life. Just go to a CPC dinner. You see the fight that's going on with just trying to save these kids, you know. What's happening with marriage? What's happening with hostility toward Jesus? How people don't even want to say the word Christmas because they hate Jesus so much. But guess what? You and I see the storm clouds amassing of persecution against the church, but the church is acting like, well, when it gets really hot, don't worry, we're going to get taken out of here. Church is not ready for the evil day. That scares me for the church. Because guess what? Guess what, guys? I feel like I prepared myself much of our life and the fellowship. And guess what? As prepared as you and I are, it's still going to be tough, right? Can you imagine not having any inkling and thinking that God's promised you that he's going to take you away before that happens? And then all of a sudden you're shocked and you're right in the middle of it. But it's worse than Pearl Harbor. It's worse than 9/11. Why? Because we've been sitting on the warnings, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the book of Daniel 11, 12, elsewhere, the book of Revelation chapter 1 through 22. We've been sitting on it for 2,000 years. We've had the warnings, amen? And we pretend that they're not there. Oh, this must be for somebody else. We have our preterist friends say, oh, don't worry, it's already happened in the past. Preterist, Latin word for past. And these are people that believe the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled. Oh, really? The mark of the beast went out and everybody had to take the mark of the beast in the right hand of forehead to buy or sell? Really? Jesus Christ came back and every eye saw him and he's ruling and reigning right now? Doesn't look like he's ruling and reigning to me. Oh, the lion is sitting with the lamb and so forth. And, huh, that's funny. If you go to the zoo and put a lion with a lamb, it'll just devour the lamb. It doesn't look like it to me. So every tear has been wiped away. We're walking on streets of gold? Really? I don't think so. Satan's bound in a chain or thrown in the lake of fire? No, he's alive and well. No, it hasn't all come to pass. That's a lie, guys. And the Bible warns against those who teach that the resurrection has come to pass and overthrow the faith of some. That's not there by accident. God knew this would be coming later. And there are those teaching the resurrection has already come to pass. They're called full preterists. And they overthrow the faith of some. They just destroys your hope. But there's others that don't say, no, it hasn't come to pass, but it's going to come to pass in the future, but you'll be out of here in a pre-trib rapture. Both eschatological constructs leave you ill-prepared for the evil day. So the evil day in your life and my life can be tomorrow, not the tribulation period, can be just general tribulation, can be acute tribulation that shows up in your life through something devastating that takes place, or it can be the tribulation period itself. You know where we're secure? In Jesus. It's too simple. Just stay close to Jesus. When the flood came, that was God's destruction on evil men. An evil day for them, not morally evil, because God only does that which is right. But the calamity, there was safety in the ark, amen. One door into the ark, amen. Jesus is the one, is the ark, man, our ark. He is the one door. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Stay close to Jesus. He tells us in advance the things that are happening. He says, behold, I've told you in advance. And he tells us these things in advance. He said, I tell you ahead of time so you won't fall away. He wants us to be ready. Now, some said, well, the evidence was there that 9/11 was coming or Pearl Harbor was coming, but they couldn't connect the dots. And I don't judge their hearts. I don't know where they were all at. But I do know this. We have no excuse not to connect the dots in the Bible. When Jesus says, you will be delivered over to tribulation to his apostles, who he told to what? Tell us and those they witnessed to, right? And when you see the abomination of desolation, it's because of the Antichrist in the temple. Flee to the mountains. Immediately after the tribulation, all those things were warnings that he'd come after the tribulation and so forth. Now, it's interesting because it also came as a sneak attack. Tribulation was a sneak attack for many Christians. It shouldn't be. It came, even though there were warnings that were neglected, that's happening in the church. It also came when they were at rest. It started at 7 a.m. Pearl Harbor took place. What's that? Sunday morning. When they were resting, most of the troops, the church is asleep right now, resting. as though we're already reigning with Christ, many people. The health and wealth gospel has primed us and made us like a pig being led to the slaughter, you know. We're told that God wants you always healthy and wealthy, and everybody's got, you know, live your best life. Now, you know, Joel Osteen, you know, it's not right. It's not biblical. And then we've got our eyes on being kings. Now we're not kings. And, you know, we're not, Paul uses a sarcastic tone in Corinthians. Are you kings already? Would that you were, I'd reign with you. But he says, that's not, we're not there yet, guys. You know, even in the early church, the church fathers, when they were around, there were some saying, acting like the resurrection already came to pass. Tertullian and Irenaeus both talk about how the resurrection hasn't come to pass yet. He says, we still suffer ulcers. We still suffer. He goes, you still suffer maladies, don't you? You haven't risen from the dead yet. Our hope is yet future. Amen. Our hope is yet future. Marvin Rosenthal. He's made the pre-wrath view popular. I'm not pre-wrath. I do believe that the tribulation period is 42 months, and it includes the seals and the trumpets and the bowls, and God protects us from the wrath of God. And the ultimate wrath happens on that last day when we're raptured at the end of the tribulation. Although at least Marvin Rosenthal and my pre-wrath brethren are warning people that the church will have to face the Antichrist. They believe we'll go through tribulation, it will be cut short, and then we'll be saved right before the wrath is poured out. I believe we'll be saved before the ultimate wrath is poured out. Very similar views. And I praise God for my pre-wrath brethren, because a lot of them love our video. They sold their souls, wrong world. Left Behind or Led Astray. By the way, Dallas Theological Seminary, this last weekend, did their seminar trying to rebut Thomas Ice, I should say, who's the most popular guy, probably one of the most popular guys out of Dallas Theological Seminary. One of the leaders of, he's Tim LaHaye's right-hand man. He's his theological, you know, right-hand man. And got together with another guy, and they had a whole prophecy conference, their annual prophecy conference. I think it was their 25th one. And I was invited to go and do a debate on it for this weekend. Months ago, I was invited. And I said, great. I go, let's make sure we talk about the scripture. No. We can't talk about the Bible, what the Bible says about it. Really? Now, we'll just talk about the history. I go, well, my video is about the history, so let's talk about the history, of course. But it's also about scripture and what the scriptures say. And as long as we talk about scripture too, no, we can't use the Bible in this debate. I'm not kidding. In fact, I quote some of it, I believe, on our website, Left Behind, Led Astray. And then they said, look, it'd be Paul Wilkerson and myself, Thomas Ice was writing to me, against you and whoever. And I got my friend Jacob Prash in on it and said, hey, we'll go over there. It's their 25th anniversary. What a great opportunity, you know. And in the end, you know, they said, only if we do it without scripture. And then we kept saying, well, let's try to do it. How about we do one on history, one on scripture? Trying to, you know. And then Thomas I said, well, after talking to my board about it, praying about it, we decided we'd do it a different way. And they did it by just not having us at the debate. You know, I guess that'll work if you just want to show one side. So we do believe, and praise God, because that's the biggest movement pushing the pre-trib thing. And I praise God that God's used this little church and us, you know, little Christian lovers of Jesus to really shake things up. I like that they're talking about that and they have to deal with it. And hopefully people that are hearing them talk about it look a little more into it, say, hey, maybe I should watch the video myself and draw my conclusions. And just the scripture itself will convince you, because we have the whole church history for 1800 years. You know, the church was post-trib. You know, there was no clear 7-year rapture before 7-year tribulation anywhere in early church history. And the scripture itself. And we want the church to be ready. Wow, it's weird. I don't feel like I've talked about the rapture and the tribulation and the timing for like months. I never went that long without bringing it up. But hey, since they just talked about it and Pearl Harbor's here, kind of fits into my message. We've looked at a few different things. Now we're looking at Pearl Harbor and 9/11. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:12, well, wait, I mentioned Marvin Rosenthal. I want to quote him. Listen to what he says. Having been taught, he was a top pre-tribber, by the way, a leading pre-trib teacher. I think with Israel Our Glory, a pre-trib pro-Israel magazine. And most of us post-tribbers that I fellowship with are very strong pro-Israel. Israel is a country that God established originally. He still has promises to Israel. He restored Israel. That's part of his prophetic plan. And he's bringing people back to Israel. Amen. and 144,000 will be literal Jews and so forth. And that's you know, very biblical, and we talk about that a lot in our fellowship. But Marvin Rosenthal was in this, he is editor of Israel or Gloria. I hope I have the name of the magazine right. I'm just going off memory. And when he came out and said he was, even though I think he started the magazine, I know he was its leader. And he said, I switched over. I'm not pre-trib anymore. We're going to face the Antichrist. He got voted down off of his own ministry that he was president of. And he says in his book, because they didn't feel funds would come in from the pre-trib churches that fund the magazine if he wasn't pre-trib anymore. But he said he needed to be truthful to his convictions. And he writes this in his book, The Pre-Wrath Rapture of the Church, page 281 and 282. Having been taught and convinced of an imminent, which means any moment, pre-tribulation rapture, the consequences will be calamitous. The church will enter the period unprepared, spiritually naked, vulnerable, and ripe for the Antichrist deception. The psychological implications will be disastrous. A questioning of the trustworthiness of the Word of God will naturally follow. It will be a spiritual catastrophe, a Pearl Harbor of incalculable proportions, a satanically planned sneak attack. It is impossible to effectively train an army for a major battle if the soldiers are told they will never have to participate. Amen? Reservists who see little likelihood that they will ever see combat will never prepare like those knowing they may soon be sent to the front lines. End quote. I love that, man. I thought that was great. Well put. But right now, people freak out if they go through a trial. And I'm telling you right now, it could already be difficult when you go through a trial and you know you're going to go through it. And you're prepared. It can already be difficult. Amen? It becomes almost impossible to endure a trial if you don't think it's a trial, and you think that God doesn't love you anymore, and you think that he's failed his word, and he's not keeping his promises, and where do you turn, and that he's abandoned you, or somehow his word didn't come to pass, I haven't been raptured. That becomes really ugly. And Corrie ten Boom, she's one of my favorite writers, actually, and she hid Jews. Remember the book, The Hiding Place? She gave I didn't bring it today, but tonight, because I want to talk about other things, which I have already, but she has this really powerful statements about going through the Holocaust and needing to be ready, and how the church isn't ready for the tribulation period. And it's pretty powerful what she states about it. And she would talk about how she would, when a good scripture came to her heart, when she'd read, that would prepare her for that time, that she would memorize that scripture. I thought, that's beautiful. Praise God, Corey. And I think we need to memorize scriptures that have to do with things that we face, amen? But it's also good to memorize scripture that have to do with the coming tribulation period, so you're prepared. A really cool scripture I like is 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. We don't look at the scripture very often, but it's one I have brought up a few times in the past because it's just, I think, a really powerful word from God to us. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12. Beloved, isn't it great to know that you're beloved by God? That he loves you. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial or the fiery ordeal among you. Don't be what? Surprised. Surprised. Because a lot of times people get surprised. They're shocked. Well, I can't believe I'm in a trial. I didn't sign up for this. Are you reading the Bible? Peter says, if any of you suffer according to the will of God, according to the will of God, God's will that I might suffer, yeah. Those whom he loves, he rebukes and he chastens. Because he loves me, he rebukes me. He needs to rebuke Joe Schimmel every once in a while. He needs to chasten me. He needs to give me a spanking. My mom knows that. You know, she hasn't given me a spanking for years. But that she handed me off to God. And you all need it too, as much as awesome as you are. We all need to be disciplined by God at times, amen? And he says, and it's not always discipline. Sometimes it's just a trial because we live in an evil world, amen? Oftentimes it's not discipline. It's just being godly in Christ Jesus. You will suffer persecution, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus, amen? Beloved, do not be surprised. Don't be shocked at the fiery ordeal among you. which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Isn't that a trip? Don't think, this is strange. How could I possibly be going through this? God says, hey, what would seem strange to you otherwise is normative in the kingdom of God. You'll go through some strange things that seem strange, but they shouldn't seem strange to you. I mean, I'll tell you what, when you read the book of Job, that seems like a strange thing. Wow, what in the world did he go through? He's the most righteous man on earth. That makes me step back and say, wait a minute. Woo, now if Job went through that, and he was the most righteous man on the earth, and he suffered more than anybody I know in the Old Testament, and it says, consider the sufferings of Job and how he was an example, how he had patience. An example? Yet an example to who? Us. That means we could lose everything in this world. We've got to hold tight to Jesus. Amen. Hold tight to Jesus. You hear me today? Hold tight to Jesus and don't let go. And then go look at verse of chapter 5, verse 10. Verse 8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith. In your faith. Trust Jesus. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. It's not just us. We all go through it. Verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while. And by the way, it is a little while compared to eternity. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself what? Perfect. Amen. Confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Isn't that awesome? He's going to establish you in the end. So when we go through trials, just wait on the Lord. He'll make it right. Amen. You'll get settled. Just don't freak out. Just wait on him, and he'll strengthen you through it. He'll mature you. You'll become more like Christ, and you'll be settled in the end. And other people are going through it as well. Now, I also thought a very interesting thing about this was after Pearl Harbor, what happened to our country? Does anybody remember? We were galvanized. Do you know that? America, the United States, was galvanized and got involved in the war and ended up being used as a liberating force for the Nazis had killed 6 million Jews, right? And we were reluctant to get into the war. Churchill said about the United States that the United States, America always does the right thing after it's done doing everything the wrong way. We finally join them. I think that's why he said that, you know. He said, okay, we're in the war. We just got nailed. But guess what? A lot of Americans stepped up and did the right thing and fought against the Japanese and fought against the Nazis. But keep in mind, the Nazis were trying to take over the world. They had an empire in Europe at that time, growing. The Japanese were expanding their territories. And they were going to seek to go back into, they had been in China and South Korea, in Korea. They were all over the place. Out of Philippines, but they were going to try to take those areas again. And my dad was on his way en route to getting on a ship to go to the Philippines as a paratrooper. Army paratroopers don't often live very long, to fight against the Japanese. And the Philippines was back on their list to take over. And that's when the Nagasaki and Hiroshima were destroyed with atom bombs. And guess what? When the enemy... Now, Pearl Harbor lasted for 2 hours. The tribulation period, the great tribulation period, where the Antichrist reigns, will be 42 months, 3.5 years. But it will end... Jesus said, if he didn't come back when he's going to come back, he said, no flesh, no life would be saved. Amen. He's going to come back before the enemy destroys everybody. Amen. And you want to make sure that you are right with Jesus, that you're trusting in him. And they were galvanized through that experience. After 9/11, what happened to our country for a little while? It was galvanized a bit. Both times after Pearl Harbor, there was a war, right? We got in the war. After 9/11, there was a war as well on terrorism. When the Antichrist emerges, it says that he'll make war against the saints. Revelation 13:5. Just thought there were some interesting parallels. And he'll make war against us. But ultimately, we win. Because Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not what? Prevail against it. But there will be casualties. Just as there's another parallel. There were casualties in World War II, during Pearl Harbor, during 9/11. There'll be casualties during the tribulation period. Jesus says many will fall away at that time. Matthew 24. He that endures to the end will be saved. Amen? So that's important to keep in mind. Who are those who endure to the end? Those who look to Jesus. Those who are faithful to him. In fact, we read in Revelation 2, 9 and 10, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you'll be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. 10 is a number like 7 of completion in the scripture. Be faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life. Listen to Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. That's the ground of our victory. And because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. Revelation 12, 17, then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commandments and hold fast to their testimony, or hold fast their testimony about Jesus. Revelation chapter 13, 9 and 10, whoever has ears, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity, into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with a sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Revelation 14, 9 through 12, when it talks about those who take the mark of the beast and worship his image and so forth. And anyone who worships a beast in his image and receives the mark of the forehead, it talks about how there will be eternal torment, no rest day and night forever and ever. And the smoke of the torment goes up forever and ever. Then it says verse 12, this calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. So Satan's plan is to bring such an evil day where you're not ready for it, where you're not faithful to Jesus because you're just upset. I can't believe God let me go through this. God said he'd never let me go through this tribulation period. No, he didn't. Jesus said, I said these things ahead of time, so when it happens, you will not fall away. Amen? So I want to encourage you tonight to keep your eyes on Jesus and remain faithful to him. And I read just a couple more scriptures, then we'll say a prayer. In Daniel 12, it talks about the end of days, verses 2 and 3, and verse 10 in chapter 12. And look at this in the glorious resurrection those of us have who are found in Jesus, who are shining the light of Jesus to the lost. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. But those who have insight will understand. You want to have insight when the evil day comes. Amen? Now, it could be an evil day, as I said before, that just takes place in your life, time of trial, like Job. Amen? But you want to be able to have insight and say, you know what? This is what God does sometimes to his people. Because the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's in control. He's a good God. I don't know how this is going to end up, but I do know how it's ultimately going to end up. It's going to be good with God. Amen? Or if we happen to be alive when the tribulation period happens, then we might be like, you know, we might just be preparing our kids or their kids. Amen? You know, we may not go through that in our lifetimes. Very likely we don't, but it's possible that we do too. So I want to just make sure when we get to heaven, you don't say, Joe, how come you didn't talk about this? You might say, oh, praise God, Joe. You talked about a lot. You didn't have to talk about so much. We didn't go through it, but praise God. My grandkids are in real good shape now because I warned them too. You know, amen. So whatever. Because I know even when we talk about things in the future that may not happen, it applies to right now. Trials, amen. So we prepared in our hearts. And you know what's really cool? Anytime I go through a trial, I'm like, praise God, this was easier than the tribulation period. Amen. Puts things in perspective too. Amen. So I want to encourage you today. Put on the full armor of God so that you may stand against the wiles of the devil, and you may what? Stand firm in the evil day and resist him in the faith. Amen. What are the pieces of armor? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The shield of what? Faith to extinguish the fire. That means trust Jesus. The helmet of salvation. I'm protected, man, because my salvation is in Christ. It's not in how good I am, but what Jesus did for me through faith. Amen? My shoes, what kind of shoes do we have? Gospel shoes. Amen? Feet prepared with the gospel of peace. Amen? The belt of truth, man. Are you into God's truth? Amen? Breastplate of righteousness. Not my righteousness, but His righteousness. Amen? Praise God. God is good. And all prayer. It's not really a piece of armor, but it says praying for all the saints at all the time. So I like that part too, though. Keep praying for each other. Amen? Keep everybody in prayer and keep loving each other and keep being what God's called us to be. Amen? Are you all trusting Jesus right now? How about you young guys up front? You trusting the Lord? Isn't He awesome? If anybody here is not trusting Jesus, now is the day to put your faith in Him. Recognize what He did for you. Amen? He died for you. He was buried. He rose again and conquered the grave. Amen? And Jesus said, go and preach repentance for the remission of sins. Repentance is metanoia, a change of mind, a change of heart. You have a change of mind and heart about the direction you're going on, your behavior. You turn from a wicked road and you turn to Jesus, who is Himself eternal life. Amen. And the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Father God, we